The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Today we gather in person upon Baccalaureate Sunday for the class of 2020 together to worship Almighty God. With joy we welcome to our chancel President Robert A. Brown and Provost Jean Morrison, along with our chaplains, liturgist, choir, and honored guest baccalaureate speaker, Yolanda Kakabatse. Upon this most celebrative Sunday, let us worship God in spirit and in truth. As ever, we welcome your support and responses. Please note possibilities for ministry and pastoral support available on our website, including the many activities and programs this coming week. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. As we are able, may we stand in the praise of God.
Let us pray. Gracious God, You bless your servants with many achievements. We give thanks especially for the milestones that the class of 2020 have attained inside and outside the classroom. As they continue in the new phases of their lives, may they also know your love and experience your peace in all of their endeavors. Bless our gathering this morning and empower us all to live out your calling for the betterment of humanity and your creation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
A lesson from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapters 3, verses 1 through 8. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens, he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. It's rising from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and nothing is hid from its heat.
A lesson from Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 9 to 13. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. The word of the Lord.
Say together the collect. O eternal God, bless all schools, college, and universities, and especially Boston University, that they may be lively centers for sound learning, new discovery, and the pursuit of wisdom, and grant that those who teach and those who learn may find you to be the source of all truth. Amen. Please be seated.
Tread lightly, manage wisely. That theme lies at the heart of Yolanda Kakabatse's more than 40 years as a conservationist and environmentalist. An early proponent of sustainability in her native Ecuador, she founded two transformative organizations. Fundación Natura in 1979 was dedicated to sustainable development in Ecuador. In 1993, she founded Fundación Futuro Latinoamericano, FFLA, to promote sustainability across Latin America through conflict prevention and management. Ms. Kakabatse also served 2 years as Minister of Environment for the Republic of Ecuador. But her influence extends well beyond her native region. At the United Nations, she coordinated the participation of some 5,000 NGOs at the 1992 Earth Summit in Rio de Janeiro, at which a statement of principles for responsible development and the sustainable management of forests was adopted by more than 178 governments, further linking economic and environmental health. She served as president of the International Union for Conservation of Nature and on the board of the World Resources Institute. And from 2010 to 2018, she was president of the World Wildlife Fund International, one of the world's leading conservation organizations with more than 5 million supporters globally. Keenly aware of the importance of biodiversity, she has led efforts to save several wildlife populations, including a project that doubled the number of tigers in the wild and the helicopter rescue of an endemic species of turtle from a volcanic eruption in the Galapagos. But she works diligently as a steward of all life, identifying sustainable solutions for water, land, and chemical use. Ms. Kakabatse studied educational psychology at Catholic University of Quito, and throughout her career has promoted environmental education. Among many current relationships and commitments, she is on the advisory boards of Arabesque, a global asset management company, and the FFLA. She continues to advocate for sustainability and encourage us to live in harmony with each other and our planet. Friends, on this joyous morning, will you join me in offering to Yolanda Kakabatse a warm Marsh Chapel Boston University greeting?
Thank you, and good morning to those who are here and those who are listening to us from abroad and other places. The stars are aligned. Today, you, the young stars of this day and the stars of this university, plus those stars up there, that shed the light that we need to guide your steps in the future. I'm going to talk to you about something that is everybody's business: food loss and waste. No matter what you choose to do in life, I hope you will always carry this interest and concern with you. I hope you are equally touched by one or more of the pieces of information that I want to share with you today. My passion for food loss and waste started more than 10 years ago in a water conference in Stockholm. I went down to breakfast in the hotel a very large dining room with the most fantastic display of food. A table of salmon, a table of ham, another table of cheese, another one of pastries and fruits. And on every table, there was a sign that said, "Help yourself to what you will eat. What you leave in the plate will be charged." No one in the dining room left a crumb of bread on the plate. And that had a very strong impact and message. What a simple message can do to change a behavior that is deep-rooted in all of us, just by threatening the pocket of the consumer. Food loss and waste, a topic that is becoming more and more popular, that is rather new in our agenda, but it is a people's problem. All of us eat. All of us know when we are hungry, when we have had enough, what we like and what we don't. So it's a topic that is easy to understand to every human being. But it is one of the most serious problems of the planet today, even though it is not rocket science. And we need to recognize that what a terrible contradiction there is between our recognition of poverty in this town, in this country, in other countries and continents, and the contradiction with the acknowledgement that 40% of the food we produce is rather lost or wasted. 40% of the food we produce worldwide is lost or wasted, and that is not acceptable by any standard. Not acceptable because it has an impact on the planet. Climate crisis is aggravated by food loss and waste. Did you know that if food loss and waste was a country, it would be the third largest emitter? China, the US, and food loss and waste. Not acceptable. It threatens nature. It threatens biodiversity. We abuse and destroy ecosystems and forests to turn those lands into agricultural lands, into cattle ranching extensions, to produce more than we need. It threatens health. We cannot have a healthy society in an unhealthy planet. It threatens oceans, coral reefs, fish. Half of what we take out of the ocean is thrown away. It threatens fresh water, of which a third is lost to agricultural malpractices. And it threatens everybody's economy and every country's economy. And of course, it has an impact on us, human beings. Our quality of life is threatened, our health is threatened, and of course, the increase of poverty is visible. Poverty that is measured by the quantity and the quality of food that reaches each family, each individual. And tonight, we will have 800 million people who will go to sleep without food. But I don't want only to talk about the terrible threats. I want to share with you some of the responses that are happening everywhere, here in the US and in many other countries. Chefs, those individuals who always look to be far away from society, thinking about their passion of producing food, chefs are now opening restaurants that say, "We cook with ugly food." What do we mean by ugly food? That poor, crooked carrot that nobody wants to buy is now part of the menu that is prepared by famous chefs around the world. That apple or banana that has a black stain in it, probably because it is sweeter now than it was a few days ago. Organizations in all our countries are creating food banks. Organizations mainly run by volunteers who pick up the food that you don't know that you're going to eat that week, that probably is going to be thrown away, and they are donating that to the most needy. Hotels, cruise ships, and the hospitality sector in general is trying to change their behavior, their models of operations, in order to ensure that less food is thrown away at the end of the day. Some bakeries and shops have created applications for the mobile phone, and in the evening, before they close, they send a message to the neighborhood saying, "Come and collect what you need. I have so much left." Because the law forces these bakeries to throw away what they were not able to sell at the end of the day. Walmart in the US, Tesco in the UK, IKEA in Sweden, Unilever in the Netherlands, and markets in all of our countries, in our home countries, they are questioning the criteria to set expiration dates. We have forgotten how to use the senses that God has given us. We have forgotten to smell, to touch, and to see. And we, every day, read a date, an expiration date, that tells us that we should be throwing that food away. What a contradiction. Cities, mayors in most of the cities around the world are questioning how to deal with society that throws food away, that fills the landfills. Landfills that were built for garbage, not for food. They are thinking about the possibility of creating a tax to the producer, because this is not only the responsibility of the consumer. This is the responsibility of the producer and the consumer. And you, the students, have probably been talking a lot about the circular economy. How can we promote that? How can we address this concept of circular economy with others outside of school and outside of university? There are now in libraries recipe books on how to use leftovers and produce a wonderful dish. There are booklets about how to process food. There is information produced by experts and NGOs that we can find in the internet about networks that can come and collect the food from your home in order to donate it to others, that can turn that leftover into animal feed, into healthy animal feed. They can turn it into compost for to be used by all of us. This is a global problem and therefore needs global responses. And these responses that I have told you about are still too small. They need to grow. They need to become everybody's business. And of course, we cannot forget about values, opportunities, and the importance of creating visions. Values such as solidarity. Solidarity with people, with your neighbor, with members of your family, with countries. Solidarity between generations. solidarity between men and women, between all humans. The government system around the world, through the UN, have created an important tool for work, the Sustainable Development Goals, which you have probably heard about. And one of those goals is the one of production and consumption, number 12. Don't forget that. Look at it because it will inspire you in taking a decision of why you must work on food loss and waste. And we need to build a vision for each one of us. What can I do to make a difference in the years ahead, in this decade? You need purpose and you need dedication. At the beginning, it will take a few minutes. In a few days, you will notice that your reactions and your actions are automatic. But do participate in solutions. Each one of us can be part of that solution. We need to target, to measure, and to act. And by target, I mean we need to plan how much do we need to buy that I'm going to use during the week. And measure whether you are becoming more responsible on that and how much you are saving, not only in food, but in money. And then act. And act means create applications, talk to your neighbors, create communities. In all these processes, we need to work together in your neighborhood, in your family, in your place of work. The stars are aligned. We have all we need to succeed. We have information about the problem. We have the capacity to create solutions, and we have the power to change behaviors. Remember that food is never waste. Food should never be waste. Be part of the solution. And together, it is possible. Thank you.
Please be seated. As we come to a time in our service when we turn our hearts and minds to prayer, we lift up our souls to God. Please assume an attitude and posture of prayer by remaining seated, standing, kneeling, or coming to the communion rail. Let us pray. Almighty God, indeed, there is a time for all things. And in this joyous hour, on this joyous day, we celebrate the gift of fellowship and worship. Here within the beauty of Marsh Chapel, we give thanks for the ability to share abundantly, gathering memory, spirit, presence, together, as and in one body.
We give thanks for all those who committed themselves over the last 18 months to make this time possible, for those who have saved and cared for lives through healing, prevention, comfort, and inspiration. We give our thanks and praise. Today, Lord God, we especially give thanks for Boston University's class of 2020. Gathered near and far, we celebrate their work and the contributions of their families, teachers, administrators, and mentors. Grant each graduate your peace as they continue their individual journeys through this time of uncertainty, equipping all with open hearts and open minds. As we share this day, may we share a devotion to act with integrity, a compulsion to lead with honesty, and a motivation to serve with humility. And in the midst of our joy, we make room to acknowledge our collective sorrow. We hold a space to remember all those who have died, especially those who we have lost because of the coronavirus. We ask comfort for their loved ones, that they might find hope in the promise of new life in a house built not with hands, but eternal in the heavens. And as we carry on our own lives in this earthly home, we pray for the immediate changes needed to combat climate catastrophe. We ask for the imagination to bring these changes to fruition and the dedication to make this home a reflection of your peace. And in our care for the earth, we ask that you guide us toward care for one another. Provide us the grace and the wisdom to realize the beauty of our diversity, extending a spirit of welcome to include understanding and action. Remind us that in your mercy, transformation is possible. Remind us that in your mercy, belief is possible. Remind us that in your mercy, love is possible. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In learning virtue and piety in this time and in the next. Amen. And now, with the confidence of children of God, may we pray the prayer that the Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace, now and forever. May the sun shine warm and bright on you. Your darkest night, the star shine through. Your dullest morn, a radiance brew. And when dusk comes, God's hand to you. The blessing of God Almighty, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, be and abide with each of us, now and always. Amen.